didn't even know the name of it, Brother Jim. What's the name of it?
Sanctuary.
All right. Let's go to the book of Mark. Good to have all of you back here this evening. And be back here in the house of the Lord. Don't forget all the sign-up sheets running around. The next one coming up will be the barbecue, so check over there and make sure everything's signed up and ready to go, so that everything's covered. And the men's prayer breakfast coming up right after that. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter 5 will be in verse number 21. Mark chapter 5, verse number 21. Okay, here we go. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her blood, her body, that she was healed of the plague. Verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and say thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that he that had done this thing. Verse 33, But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. And told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole in thy plague. While he yet spake, there came before him, came from the ruler of the synagogue, how certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Verse 39, And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, and she was of age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment, and charged them straightly that no man should know it, and he commanded that that something should be given her to eat. Now last week when we finished up our studies in the book of Mark, who remembers what kind of, we ended with the people there that sold the pigs, the owner of the pigs, and the people of the city, they wanted Jesus to leave. They wanted him out of there. They didn't want him around. Now we begin this this portion of the study as he crossed back over the Sea of Galilee, and he's back over there. The people there were glad to receive him. That's a great contrast. On the other side of the sea, they didn't want him there any longer. Although he had healed and cast out the demons of the demoniac of Gadara, now he's on the other side, and they're wanting to receive him. Matter of fact, you have a ruler of the synagogue there wanting. You have a poorless, nameless woman who desired to be near him, and you had this 12-year-old girl who's, according to the passage we read, she had passed away. There, and Jesus went and met her. See, Jesus is not a respecter of persons at all. You have a ruler, you have a nameless woman with an issue of blood, and if you know the scripture, the Bible says that this woman was unclean. She wasn't even supposed to be around folks. Matter of fact, go to Leviticus chapter 15. Hold your place there in Leviticus chapter 15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 15 and verse number 19. The Bible says in verse number 19 of Leviticus chapter 15, and if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the evening. So you have this here woman, 12 years of an issue of blood. Who remembers the last couple of verses I read? How old was this young lady that died, the little girl? 12 years old. Isn't that amazing? Here's a woman that's been sick as long as this little girl's been alive. Here's a father, a ruler. I don't know how long he ruled over the synagogue. He cared for the matters of the synagogue. But he was at least a father 12 years old. All these different categories of people. And yet Jesus is interested in them. Not a respecter of person at all. You know, we need to see the compassion and deal with Jesus, deal with people in the same manner as Jesus did. Doesn't matter if they're a ruler, a woman that's unclean, or a 12-year-old little girl. In the eyes of God, they're all the same. All the same there. So make sure that we're not a respecter of persons. So you have Jairus. He shows up, very important officer of the synagogue. He's contacted Jesus there in verse number 22. He said, come, you know, my daughter's sick. Come and heal her and take her. So Jesus is on his way. He's headed down the way. The Bible said there was a throng of people. I mean, people everywhere, all around him. They're pressing up against him there just to get close to him. And here's this unclean woman. Here's this girl, this lady who spent everything. The Bible says here in verse number 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Anybody could have given up right now. Anybody could say, look, I did 12 years. I've been paid for the doctors. I've spent all the money I have. I'm just going to give up and just be done with it. It doesn't matter how long you carry your burden, carry your trial, carry your trouble, Jesus is still interested. Do you think for one moment God himself didn't know who touched him? He knew. He understood. With everything around and everything going on, he understood who it was that touched him. And it's an amazing thing that all these other people can gather around Jesus there, and they're thronging, they're pressing, but the one who needed him, the one whose faith was there that pressed her to go, she touched Jesus, and the Bible says virtue or power left out of Jesus, and Jesus knew it immediately. And she was healed. The Bible says there that in verse 30, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched," not even him, "my clothes? Who touched my clothes?" And this woman, scared, troubled, bothered. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. You know, she could have said this. "Man, Jesus is, he's talking to Jairus. Jairus is a very important person. Who am I? Who am I?" You know, sometimes we get to thinking that we are a nobody. And who are we to approach the throne of God? Hebrews tells us we can. Hebrews says that we can. Go with me in Hebrews chapter number 4. In verse 16. Actually, let's back up to verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Verse 15. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Do you understand the sovereign God of the universe could have said, "Let the preachers therefore come boldly"? You know, he could have had the writer of this here book, God-breathed book, the Hebrews, he could have said, "Let the deacons therefore come boldly." He could have said, "Let the kings, let the princes." He could have said, "Let the wealthy." But he said, "Let us therefore." That's my word. He wants you to understand that you are included in what he wants and desires to do, and that you have the opportunity to approach him and to be part of what God is doing. Amen. Let us. This woman could have said, "Jairus, he's a very important person." You know, she could have said, "I've tried everything. What's the use?" Have you ever been to that point? That you come to the point that it's just, "I've done everything I could possibly do. There is nothing else. Why bother anybody else with it? Why even bother with it anyway? What's going to be is going to be. What is going to happen is going to happen." You know what? Her faith was very weak, but it was strong enough that she could simply believe, "If only I can get to Jesus. If I only just get there." The healing, to listen. The physicians couldn't bring it. The physicians couldn't do it. But what they couldn't do, God accomplished immediately. See, God's timing is just right. God's timing is perfect. But the amazing part about this is that Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, probably very busy, probably had people all about that. He said, "You go buy the incense. You make sure that the stalls are clean and everything's good out there. People come in. You make sure that the books are in order. Make sure, you know, you clean up over here." And he was probably directing and overseeing. And he was probably pretty busy. And people did what he asked them to do because he was the ruler of the synagogue. You know what he could have said? Oh, Jesus, why are we waiting? This woman's, she's all mixed up anyway. She shouldn't even be in the throne. She has an issue of blood. She's unclean. But the ruler just sat and waited as Jesus did his bidding. Listen, don't get too big for your britches. Don't think you're so much more important than the next one. God is in control. And if you wait and be patient and let God get it done, He will do it in His timing. But He's not going to get to it simply because we whine and throw a fit. He's not going to get to it because we stomp our foot saying, well, it needs to be done right now, God. God, you don't need to be doing that. You need to be doing this. If we had that ability to command God, who would God be? God is the sovereign God of the universe, and nothing takes Him by surprise. Nothing comes about to Him and says, oh, wow, I wonder what I'm going to do tomorrow. He knew this 12-year-old girl was sick. Jairus had already approached him. Jairus knew how sick his daughter was. Remember, look at the words. Verse 23. And besought him greatly. This is how Jairus approached Jesus. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. He understood how serious it was. He understood how sickly it was. He understood that God Himself was able and willing to do great and mighty things. And so He just waited His time and waited His turn. See, just like Jesus was no respecter of person in this case, here's Darius, here's the nameless woman, poor nameless woman. The Bible says she had spent all that she had. And she may have even been homeless by this point, who knows. But she there, and then you had this 12-year-old girl, and Jesus was not respecting of either one, but a certain group. A certain group. The naysayers. He's going down the way. He takes care of this here woman with the issue of blood. Virtue had gone out of him. Power. She's healed. She's clean. 12 years of the issue. Now it's complete. And here come some that approach, and they approach him very respectfully. They say, Master, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the Lord anymore? He's disappointed unto death. The man wants to die. They understood death was something. They understood that it's a possibility before our Jairus returns that this little girl could have died. That's how sick she was. See, sometimes that's God's answer. Sometimes you pray, you seek, and you ask God to do, and you ask God to heal, you ask God to rise them up out of that sickness, but God chooses to take them. That's God's will. So I don't understand. I couldn't dare to sit here and just try to tell you that I understand how God works, why He chooses some and why He chooses others. Why He says it's this one's time now and this one's time then? Because He's God. Sometimes, just to be honest with you, friend, not to be harsh, sometimes God's answer is, come on home, saint. I need you. Come on home. Come on home and rest. Come on home and rest. Come and wait and be part of this here cloud and glory, this cloud of witnesses that it talks about in Hebrews chapter 12. Come on home. Sometimes it's that way. Sometimes it's like this. God chooses. So don't do it. Don't mess with him no more. Don't bother him no more. The daughter's dead. Your daughter's dead, Jairus. Don't bother him. And the Bible says that he took, in verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Three of the apostles. The other nine, they had to stay. what's being taught here? What do you see? What's popping out to you that Peter, James, and John? You know, sometimes you're not going to be always involved in what God's doing. But it doesn't mean God's still not doing it. No. Sometimes you're not going to be invited. This society we're living in, everybody's got their rights. Sometimes, dear friend, you're just not going to be invited. But doesn't mean God's not busy. Doesn't mean God's not going to work. Sometimes in our family, you know, if we have kids and siblings, sometimes some of the kids get to go some places and the other ones just simply don't get to go. Well, that's cruel. No, they just simply don't get to go. Just how it is. It's life. It's not being cruel. It's just part of life. I'm sure Bartholomew would like to see what was going on. Think with me for a moment. Perhaps even if Jesus would have let Judas follow along, maybe this one miracle would have been the one that really rips his heart. God's God. You know why that I understand that was not going to be the case? Because remember when the rich man died and he begged God, said, God, please send Lazarus back. Please send Lazarus back. God, please. I've got five brothers. God, please. Send. If one raised from the dead, you know what Jesus said? They have the prophets and they have the law. No. See, God's at work even when we don't realize it. But he got down there and they said, Jesus said to him, what's all this ado? Why you make such a ado? She's just asleep. And the Bible says in verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. And then Jesus said, okay. Y'all stay here. Mother, father, you come with me. The three apostles, Peter, James, and John, y'all come on. And they went on in. Jesus took her, said, arise. Immediately she was healed. There were some people in this passage of Scripture that missed out. It wasn't the nine apostles. Jesus had chosen. This group who laughed to scorn missed out because of their unbelief. They were not invited. Jesus called her in there and raised her up. The mother and father there. She walked around. This is the amazing part of this story to me, part of the amazing part. Verse 43. And commanded that something should be given her to eat. Jesus, he's so concerned even with the smallest of matters. You would think, I would think, he just raised her from the dead. Get on up out of Dodge. Jesus was concerned with hunger in this little child. See, sometimes we're bipolar Christians, I guess. If it's not something great and big, we're not going to take it to God. Just a little bit. You know, the Bible says that when the sparrow falls, he knows. You know, he says that the very hairs on our head, he counts in numbers. All them that y'all pluck out of your eyebrows, ladies. That may have been 562 on God's record. Then he had to, okay, do away with that one. He was concerned with this child's. You know what he didn't do? He didn't rush her on out there and the outside amongst everybody and say, look what I've done. He didn't bring her out there in the front of all those scorners. You know what we'd do? You know what we would do? I'm going to be honest with you. If we had the power to do what Jesus has done right here and people had laughed us to scorn, as soon as we raised her up out of the deathbed, we'd have brought her out there and sent her out like some kind of trophy. Get to the point where it's not all about us. What a lesson here. What a lesson.
A ruler of a synagogue, a nameless woman, a 12-year-old girl, and a lady, the issue of blood was 12 years old, and Jesus didn't have any respect of person. There's 12 apostles. He takes three aside. The other apostles, nowhere is it found that they're mad or upset. You know what happens if we don't get asked to be the pomp and circumstance? Sometimes we get all mad and upset, bothered, troubled. And he's, at all of it's all said and done, a woman 12 years an issue, she's healed. A little girl, 12 years old, she's healed. A mama and a daddy's got their daughter back who was very troubled by it, and he's concerned with feeding her. Jesus loves you and I. If we don't get nothing else out of this picture, understand, God's concerned with the big and small. And he's not worried if you're a ruler with a lot of power or just a little 12-year-old little girl or a nameless nobody. Because in God's, you know, to be honest, I'm not sure, but verse 34 almost lends to me to think that not only did he heal her, but he also saved her soul. Verse 34. And he said unto the woman, then talk about the woman there, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. That made thee whole. Not only did he meet the physical need, I think Jesus met a spiritual need here. Right? I know it's not the Romans road, and they didn't, you know, say, Lord, I'm a sinner, save me and all that. I do believe right there, in my opinion, what does it say in John chapter number 1, verse 12? He's given us power to become the sons of God, them that believe on his name. Thy faith, without faith is impossible to please God. It's by the grace of God you're saved. It's not yourself. It's all of God. I believe personally right there. See, God is so much involved here. Through Jesus, I mean, He just just covers it all. Spiritual, physical, respect of persons, little bitty, here's some food. Verse 12, verse 43, and he said, and charged them straightly that no man should know it. No man should know it. You know, sometimes, just to be honest with you, for me, when God does something in my life, sometimes it's just good. I want to be quiet just for a minute. God did that just for me. And then I enjoy it, and then, you know what I want to do? What the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's no way they were going to keep this in. But at that moment, I think Jesus was saying, I'm not letting those naysayers enjoy this. They're not going to enjoy it. So, you can be a naysayer, or you can say, God, do it. And I'm going to just let you do it, and I'm going to, whatever it is, big, small, little, God, you're in control. You know, it's an amazing thing, Brother Ray. We will let Jesus save our souls for eternity, but we won't trust him on a day-to-day basis. Well, that's difficult for me. No. That's difficult to even think that I'll hold back this little bitty something other in my life, but I'm trusting him enough for eternity for myself. Give it all, boy. Give it all. And let Jesus work in your life. Father, we love you. We thank you for this afternoon, Lord, this evening, being in your house. We thank you, Lord, for our story in the Bible. Passage of real people. A ruler who wasn't too prideful to come running to you when his daughter was sick. A little poor woman who didn't have anything, was considered unclean by society and by your religious ceremony rites. Lord, you was not too busy to stop and deal with her. A little old girl, Lord, who Lord, had been much better off if she had went on and been in heaven with you. But you had other things for her to do. Lord, you was concerned about her and her family enough that you stopped by. Not only did you raise her up out of her deathbed, Lord, but you fed her. God, help us as your children to understand that you love us and you care for us. And Lord, there's sometimes that we're just simply not going to be involved in what you're doing, but you're still at work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.